Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. There are three categories of people. One is a category that will follow its instinct, emotions. Something came to the mind and you did it, you said it, or you acted upon it. Now that happens to a little child or an animal. It wants to cry, it will cry loudly. It's oblivious of its environment. Like you won't find an adult crying loudly. But a child, oblivious. It wants to relieve itself, it relieves itself, wherever it is. Small child, under two, wherever, and it does it, right? It wants to eat something, it will just grab it and eat it, right? Some of the same trait you find in an animal as well, that it doesn't know any border and it doesn't know any type of shame. It sees something greener on the other side, it will just hop over, because it doesn't understand borders, right? And it doesn't understand shame as well, so something comes to its mind, it will apply itself. The female will do what it needs to do. It needs to relieve itself anywhere. Number one, number two, it will do it. So, this is that category that just reacts on emotions. Emotions and instinct. Right? So that is the lowest level, the level of a beast, the level of an animal. Right? And you don't hold it responsible, because ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ, that's the level. They can't think beyond that. A child, small child, under 2 years of age, if he does something, you spank him, it's wrong. He doesn't know. Right? So he has to be slowly tutored, understand, slowly. Right? Under two, he'll mess himself, he'll grab something, he'll eat it, he'll cry, he'll shout, right? He may just hit someone, he may just bite someone. So does a child understand limits? Doesn't understand limits, doesn't understand shame still. And animals, the same thing will happen. No borders, no restrictions, and no shame. Right? So this is the first level, first category. Right? Then you get a second category, and that is of a human being. Right? So if a human being does something that he thinks or she will think, she will think or he will think, are there going to be any consequences? If I jump the fence and pluck a fruit or take something, is there going to be any consequence? So the thing will be a little bit careful, mindful, thoughtful, understanding there is something like consequence. And it will only do it if there's no consequences. Right? So if you eat something, there's no consequence, I'll do it. It's not embarrassing, so I'll do it. But if it is, that it's got no consequence, and it's not embarrassing, it will do it. Right? So what stops the person from doing anything but the fear of consequence or embarrassment? Nothing stops the person. So if there is no consequence, he's sure there is no consequence, right? He learned forensic, so does that stop him from hacking someone's bank account or something? When he's sure 100% that there's not going to be any consequence, will there be anything stopping him? Nothing stops him. No consequence, everything is blocked off, nobody can trace it to me, so let's carry on. So the mind is saying, emotions are saying also, enjoy it, grab his finders, or he's sitting alone and he's got his phone and nothing that he's afraid about, no embarrassment and no consequence. So he will look at things and sights that are not supposed to be visited. He'll look at them. why there's no consequence, and there's no such a thing like embarrassment, so he will do it. So now that's any human being, Muslim, Hindu, Kafir, Buddhist, Atheist, all would be the same. Then you get a third category, who doesn't only think of the worldly consequence, he thinks of the consequence beyond. So, one is no conscience, like a child or a beast, and the second is, they've got a conscience, but the conscience is limited. It's just limited to my consequence or to embarrassment. That's the second. That's a human being, right? And the third is one who's got an additional concern. And he's worrying about the long-term consequence. Hereafter, long-term consequence is concerned about it. Now that's called a true mu'min. That is not just worried about a worldly short-term consequence. He's also concerned about the long-term consequence. What's going to happen? I may get away here. Very easy I may get away from here. But there is someone watching above. I look at the site, I'm looking at it, there's no consequence immediately. But there's someone above that's watching all this. On the phone nowadays, there's a long-term consequence in the phone as well. In the phony business, there's a long-term consequence. The person has got a code word, or even he deleted something. Now there's a thing, Instagram or a history, and you can trace the thing, or where the person has been, what has he been doing. So you trace the person down, you track the person. So that can happen as well. Lately something happened like this. Man is married for 12 years or something. Now he's got children. Oh, not 12 years, 15 years. So he's complaining. In fact, his wife complained. He complained that I'm an accountant, right? And because I'm an accountant at a higher level, so I had to learn forensic. Now, it happened that my wife was gone somewhere, and I had to just see her phone. Seeing her, what's the movements? Alright, now I seen her right in the school days. Messing around with this one, and that one, all that, I saw that. Now, well, must I divorce my wife? You see the question. So sometimes those consequences may be a little bit long term, but they can be picked up as well. So I had to answer the person, alright. It was a little bit of a embarrassing thing to tell him. But because he brought me right to the edge, talking of a divorce, the Mira has got about 3-4 children. So you won't want any home to be broken down. So to him, consider the fact that you were also a teenager, and there may be some history attached to yourself as well, school days, university days, something must have happened, big or small, right? But now consider, just try to understand, is the sin the same if the man commits it or the woman commits it? Is the same or is it any different? Have you got a privilege now, because I'm a man, I can do the things of my choice, and because she's a woman, she can't do it. Both are the same, and we're not trying to justify the wrong, but we're trying to put you into perspective. If she's wrong, then you are wrong. If she did something embarrassing, then you have done also something equally embarrassing. Like you would like your wrongs to be covered, then she will also appreciate the same. So this went well with him. He said, just remain silent. From the time of marriage to now, have you seen her or in her phone anything wrong? No. Same with you now. After you got into marriage, now there's nothing wrong in you. So now appreciate her. Like you would want her to appreciate her, appreciate you. So she didn't went, now she's namazi, she's doing jamaat, all that. She's doing the right thing. But that was the history. And then the additional thing to learn from this history is that, see, you can forget the wrong, alright, make toba, forget the wrong. But think to yourself, what was the catalyst? Where it started from? School, high school, all these things start from there. To understand or trace down what was the catalyst for you and for her. Both, which was the starting point? You could have ended up in this whole marriage being broken down. Alhamdulillah, understanding person understood it, appreciated it, jazakallah, carried on. So, that's the second. Now you're getting a third category. And the third category is worried about the short-term consequence as well as the long-term consequence. Qabar mein kya hoga? Maut ke waqt kya hoga? Akhirat mein kya hoga? What's going to happen in the qabar? What's going to happen at the time of death? What's going to happen in the qabar? So he's thinking of a very long-term consequence. Now this person is a true Muslim. But his concern is not just log kya kahenge, handa hunke hai. He's not just concerned about that. He's worried. If there's a worry now, there's a worry on the long term. If there's a concern now, there's a concern about the qabr as well. So he's concerned about both. And then that puts the brakes. It restrains him. It stops him. Right? Now this stopping, this breaking, that is called taqwa. When a child coming up of age and says, "Father, I want a car, I want to move, but I want two friends, and we'll take a drive. We'll come back after 2-3 hours, we'll come back, it's really going." So the parents' parting advice to the child will be, "Take care." So take care, what does it mean? In other words, don't do something that will hurt you, damage the car, or spoil my reputation. Don't do any such a thing. Don't do any stupid thing. Behave, enjoy yourself for a few hours, but don't embarrass me, don't embarrass yourself, don't damage the car, don't hurt yourself, don't cause any problems. So in one word he says, take care. So this taqwa is as though the meaning of take care. So you're taking care of yourself now, for the short term, the long term, you're taking care of everything. Because you are a mu'min. When you are a mu'min, then you are taking care. Now this taking care is the most often repeated command in the entire Quran Sharif. You won't find an injunction repeated as this command has been repeated. But unfortunately, either we don't understand what is this taqwa all about, or we don't want to know. One is, we know about taqwa, and the other is that we don't want to know what is taqwa. So there's two different things. If we know it, then, and we're still committing the wrong, then it's compounded. We knew it and still we couldn't. But we don't want to know about it, it is even more compound. It's even worse. You don't want to know what is the command of Allah Ta'ala at a certain situation. Then how are you calling yourself a Muslim? How do you call yourself a Muslim when you don't want to know what is the command of Allah Ta'ala, in which situation, in which circumstance? You don't want to know, just carrying on. So this verse, sometimes it comes at the beginning of a surah, the same command. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqoo rabbakum. Beginning, surah is starting off. Sometimes a surah is being ended with the same word, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Can you see that? Sometimes in one single verse it is repeated, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْتَنْزُرُ. And then at the end, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ. So can you understand now the importance of this taqwa? So it starts off, it ends off with taqwa, is repeated, and in every situation this command of taqwa is being directed at you. In fact, the whole institution of roza is for you to learn taqwa. Right? Kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun, that you may learn taqwa. So it's so important that one obligation from the five obligations are only there to teach you what is taqwa all about. Because In the roza, what happens? In the roza, you are leaving out many things that are permissible. In nature, it's permissible. Eating, isn't it permissible? Drinking, isn't it permissible? Having intimacy, isn't that permissible? It's permissible, right? But whilst you are fasting, some permissible things you are keeping away from. So now, it's creating a potential, a capacity, capability, that when you are able to leave out things that are permissible, then that will build up a capability to leave out things that are impermissible. So you need that additional strength to keep away from things that are impermissible. Right? So then, this is how you start off. You see. So they say, in learning any good character, good behavior, right, you have to first go the additional mile. Then you'll balance out. But you don't go the additional mile, you can't balance out. I was explaining the boys in class today. Hazraji Rahmatullah Ali was a man of great wisdom, very great wisdom. So I don't even know that I got to the alif of his wisdom. He's so great, right? So, but his teaching and his instruction was in anecdotes, small words. But there was a lot of wisdom in it. But you will benefit from him if you took every word of his seriously. But if you took him casually, then you're not going to gain. Maybe you just understand the story, whatever it is, but you didn't grasp what he said. So one message that he used to give very, very regularly, often I think nearly every day he would repeat. Ghusa pasna aaya. The anger mustn't come close to you. Not that you don't go close to the anger, don't allow that anger to come close to you. So then I'm explaining this, I said, see, now compare this against the statement of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi. He says, the person that doesn't get angry, but he's supposed to get angry, then he's an ass. And then the sentence continues, he says, and then the person that doesn't make maaf, you ask him for a maaf, and he doesn't make maaf, then he's a shaitan. Right? Now, Hazrat is saying, don't allow that anger to come close. Imam Shafi Ramta is saying, that if you don't get angry, then you're a donkey. Right? Now how do you reconcile? Now to understand this, you have to go through certain experience to understand and appreciate this. If you didn't go through that experience, then you would straightly, you know, like today what happens, straight away you pass a comment. These people don't know what they're talking about. Things they're talking against the hadith. That's the type of response you will get. But this is an ilaj, it's a cure, right? And when you're going for a cure, purification, then that put you through a process. And the process is that don't get angry. Where you're supposed to be getting angry, also don't get angry. So now I explain the class this thing here. So why does Hazrat say this? Say, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I must thank Allah Ta'ala. Can't stop thanking Allah Ta'ala. What he said, we took it to heart. Although some things we didn't understand, but there was not a time, Alhamdulillah, he said something and we didn't take it to heart. We took it to heart. Though we couldn't understand something. And he would himself say, well, you won't understand this, but joli mein bhar do. Waqt aayega, kaam mein aayega. Just put it in your sack now. And at the opportune time, you'll begin to understand. So it was about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. So I'll show you the story, how it happened, right? There was a student, he was about 18, 19 years doing hifz. So he was lame, limping, one hand is not working well, and one leg is not right as well. So we were talking to him, like, what happened? Are you born like this, with this deformity, paralyzed, what happened? He said, no, what happened? He started crying. It was the month of Ramadan, and his father just pulled into the house. Mother was reading namaz, and he couldn't keep himself, he couldn't continue. I said, I told you not to do this when I'm here. I need to have my iftar now. And in that fit of anger, he pulled out his gun and shot her dead straight. For the musalla, Ramzan time, she's busy in namaz. See that anger. So Hazrat is saying, Gussa pasna aya. So what you all did then? So obviously now we're running for cover. I went under the table. So I got shot also. And this is the result of the short. Some nerves were damaged, hand is not working right, and the foot is not working right. Then I asked him, then what happened after that? He said, no, my father killed himself. He understood what the damage he did now. Now how is he going to face up to life? In a short while, this is what he did. But you see, that anger and anger control, and if he's not controlled, then what it can lead up to. Now explain them, see. That you want to get something straight, right? So you have to go the other way around. See now, this is, it's a thing of paper, right? And you straighten it. So you will have something, you'll have something sagging, right? But you want it to go straight, you have to turn it the other way around. You don't want it to be going the other way around, but can you get it straight without going the other way around? So you have to come straight. And for you to come straight, you'll have to go the other way around, then you will get straight. However, there are situations where the anger can be used, but you need to be in full control of yourself. And if you're not in full control, then don't experiment. So, I'm explaining this, the hadith just came thereafter. Imran ibn Hussein, radiallahu anhu, he is saying to his student that Allah is reporting hadith, Al-Hayau Khayun Kullu. Shame and modesty, through and through, it is just good. It is just good, altogether good. Hayau Khayun Kullu, it's altogether good. So there is no dimension of evil in shame. Shame is good through and through. Right. So he's one student now, Kaab, that is his name, right? No, Bushayr ibn Kaab. That's the name. Perhaps he must have been a Christian or something, and he had got to learn some books of the past, Injil or whatever. So he said, no, I have got some books, some scriptures of the past, and that scripture says, Fee waqarun. Shame has got some dignity, right? When you got shamed, there's dignity. And وَفِيهِ ضُعْفٌ أَيْذًا. If there is some dignity in shame, then and shame also has got some weakness. So Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu tried to explain to him that I am explaining to you from Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he repeated it for the second time, فِيهِ وَقَارٌ وَفِيهِ ضُعْفٌ. Now Imran ibn Hussein, now he starts shouting. I am talking of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you're talking of the scriptures. What's wrong? Put all this thing away. When you talk of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't bring anything. See the respect of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it comes before us, everything has to be just put aside. Everything to be. Because his wisdom and his knowledge and his teaching cancel everything of the past. Everything like is cancelled. It's like a drop before an ocean. So the ocean will just consume this thing here. So you can't even talk about it. So when there was the need to show anger, he showed the anger. But I ask you, did he show the anger in the right place or in the wrong place? See, there was an occasion, there was a time to express it. And when he expressed it at the right time, then it will have the right effect. But you don't show it at the right time, then person will say, no, this person had a bad day, you know. He had a bad day, so he had to express his anger at some point. That's the conclusion that he'll come. But if it is that you maintain the composure, irrespective of whatever happened, but you maintain composure, you maintain yourself, and you are used to doing it, you know, maintaining composure, maintain yourself, then if you have to say something, then it is taken rightly. When Imran ibn Hussein said this, his student Bushayr ibn Kaab says, Ihin, no, go on advising us. The other meaning to this word, but the popular meaning is, that go on advising us. So, do you see that when that anger was expressed at the right time, it had the right effect. And if it's not expressed at the right time, see, a person when he killed his wife, tried to kill his child, and took his own life, see, what a disaster. The child came and told us himself personally is what happened. So there's nobody in between. Trying to send us straight. in this whole thing, in this whole exercise of anger, right, I tell the people, right, see, look at the hadith. You will leave out disputing, right? Dispute. Tarak al mira. Dispute, argument. Wahuwa muhikkun. You are right. But you don't want to get into a dispute. You don't want to get into an argument. You don't want to get into a fight. So, what's the reward? See, one is, if it is a shari cause, then the shari cause, you have to defend it. Like Imam Ibn Hussein, radiyallahu anhu, he had to defend the cause of the sharia. He had to defend the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he defended it, right? So what he need to say. But one is, it's a personal thing, you know. Man, he's borrowed 1 million rand from me. He's going for Hajj and Umrah and everything else, driving in cabs and all that. I'm not paying him. What's wrong with the person? Now, if it's a personal thing, what you do? Man taraka al-mira. The better route is leave out the dispute, leave out the fighting, leave out the jagra, leave all that out. That's the better route. One person lost his father some years, many years ago, lost his father. So the money was still jammed up in the estate. He came to me, he was in a bad state. The madrasa was in the beginning stages. So I would say it's over 30 years ago. The madrasa is in the beginning stages, and he came to me in that state, bad state. He was quite young at the time, maybe about 21 or something. So I told him, you know what, if I were you, I can't do this, because I don't have the relationship with him, but I will turn it as though it is my own problem. See, the one way of advising, مَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي, to take it on yourself. So it's no obligation, and it's not a command. He said, I would have done this. I said, see, you are young, right? If I had been in your place, what I would have done, young, energetic, a lot of ideas, I would have done my best. And inshallah, if I do my best in this way, I'll be thinking positive and I'll be progressing. But if I'm going to get stuck in the state story here, I don't know how long it will take to get winded, and after it's winded, I don't know how much I'm going to get. So, both ways I'm going to be losing. Yeah, I'm positive, constructive, I'm using myself, and I'm working hard. And Allah Pak willing, inshallah, there'll be barakat. So I gave that advice about some 30 years ago. He was about 20 at that time. So after about 15 years, he said, I got so much I got now. Can't believe it. You can buy these people out. You can buy the state out. Imagine now. So the hadith is saying, Man tarakal mira, leave all this fighting, disputing, arguing. And I would say, even the mental dispute, one is to fight, argue, right? And one is mental dispute. Leave out the mental dispute as well. For that person's stupidity, why should your mind be in a turmoil? So relax, enjoy life, enjoy the mental serenity of his stupidity, and you taking the brunt of his stupidity, I say, is it worth it? He did whatever he did, now that's his problem. But now, because of his foolishness, must I go through a mental turmoil, put my mind into this type of worry, anxiety, fight and all that? Why did this? And if I get him, I get a chance, I'll fix him up, I'll put him in my place, put him in his place. He said, kya milta hai? What did you get? Do you get anything after that? Hazrat Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has moved on from India to Pakistan. And he acquired some land to put up a madrasa, masjid, noble cause, a very leading alim, the Mufti Azam of Pakistan. In the meanwhile, in that land that he had acquired, in one section, Hazrat Mullah Shabir Ahmad Usmani Sahib Rahmatullah's family was living there. Mullah Shabir Ahmad Sahib was late. His family was residing, she's widowed. And someone went and whispered in her ear that he is going to throw you out. of this land is going to be thrown out. So she made a noise. She was excited. Now she's widowed and she doesn't understand legal matters and procedures. She doesn't understand all this. So some men complained to her. So she called him. Being the student of her husband, she called him. This is what you're going to do to me. No, I got no intention to do this. No, you're going to do this. Because the way they filled her ears, that she got to believe this. Anyway, now she can't get to understand. Why is it not it? The whole thing is cancelled. We'll move to another site. Oh, Moana has got so many people with him. People, the law, in the legal fraternity, all the stuff. I got all valid documents to prove that this is mine. It's an ideal spot. You know, I can't get a place like this. And this starting off, and we've already called the Jalsa for the foundation laying. Hundreds of people are going to be coming. Why is telling his children, no, this is cancelled, it's cancelled. But Mona, what an embarrassment. So when they kept on telling him, at the end he says, it's a bargain, it's a very cheap bargain, I don't want to let it go. They asked the father, but then what is the bargain? The bargain is this, that man tarakal mira'a wa huwa muhikkun. You leave out arguing, fighting, quarreling, leave all these things out. Though you are right, you are right. You are confirming your place in the outskirts of Jannah. You're confirming your place there. When it's a confirmation for confirming your Jannah, why must I get into it? Allah has given me this opportunity to confirm my place in Jannah. Why must I let it go? I can't let it go for anything. No, Abba, why are you doing this? So he explained them. This is the first reason. That's the primary reason. The second reason he says is this. We'll go for it, we'll get that thing, right? But to say, kya milega? What will we get out of this? Because this is the first step, and the first step is going with the fight. So what will be the public comment, number one, right? And this place will have a memory, right? The memory will be, yeah, they ill-treated this widow. Now how are you going to delete this from the minds? So the best thing is, just leave this thing here. We spent money, etc. But the woman, unfortunately, she can't understand it in perspective. Whoever is trying to indoctrinate her or influence her, that's his business and her business. We don't want to get into it. Let's move on over. And Allah Pak willing, he just left the thing. In a few days' time, just a few days or a few weeks later, some South African was passing that side. And he heard the story. He said, no, I got about 40, 50 acres of land. Take that thing for a madrasa. See, so our Allah Ta'ala is watching everything. Ma kana rabbuka nasiya. Don't think at any moment, for any moment, don't think that Allah forgot it. No. You may have forgotten, but Allah doesn't forget. So trust His promises, trust in Him, and do what He says. Some things will appeal to you, may appeal to your reasoning and understanding. Some things may not appeal to your reasoning and understanding. It doesn't mean there won't be any consequence. There will be a consequence. Sometimes the consequence is immediate. Sometimes it's coming with time. But it's going to come. Because مَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّ. My Rabb doesn't forget. It'll happen. When it's supposed to happen, when it's destined to happen, it will happen. So trust in Him. Have high hopes in His promises, in His Zaat, in His being, in His compassion, in His love. And inshallah, with time you'll see things when you needed it most, and you will see things working out for you. See, so this is the first part of the hadith. And the last part of the hadith is, then who will deserve the highest level of Jannah? This is now the entry level, right? And who's going to be deserving the highest level of Jannah? If there's an entry level, there's a high level, there's an average level, there's the highest level. And who is going to be in the highest level of Jannah? Right? When hasuna khulqu, his character is right, his ways are right, his behavior is right. Now, we're talking of behavior, so what do we mean by behavior, good behavior? Everybody got a definition. In this day, Everybody got his own definition. Anything and everything, he's got his own definition. So you can't tell the person, because he's got a mind of his own, definition of his own, understanding of his own. So how do you get to the person? The right thing is then, refer back to the hadith. What does the hadith say? Or those that were experts in the hadith. The experts in the hadith, refer to them. Now when you don't refer to the experts, then you'll jump to your own conclusions. And the conclusion may be wrong. Someone is explaining a hadith, you know, is explaining a hadith. I say, how dangerous it is not to refer to the experts. They give the whole life in hadith. So they'll have the understanding that nobody has. But then we leave that explanation, and then we jump to other conclusions. It's not right. We are doing injustice to the hadith. Now look at the hadith. When Nabi Sam had come to Medina Munawwara, right? So he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, afshu salam, at'imu ta'am, silu al-arham, sallu bil-layli, wa nasu niyam. Right? About four things. He then commanded, make salam a common practice, feed, maintain good relationship, and the last, read tahajjud namaz, whilst people are asleep, and then you will go into Jannah with peace. Peacefully you will go into Jannah. You leave the world peacefully, get into Jannah peacefully. Now, when we leave the explanation of Rasulullah SAW or of these experts and we go on our own explanation, what happens? It's a big, big disaster. The disaster now, someone is giving an explanation of the same hadith. So he says, see, Rasulullah SAW in his inaugural message when he arrived at Medina Munawwara, so he said to all the people that were present, Muslims, non-Muslims, because he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind. So it will include everybody, Christian, Jew, Hindu, Buddhist, everybody. So what he says, he gave the message of love, was love, each other, afshu salam. Now there's three pointers in the hadith that shows that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was referring to a particular class. Now that Ya ayyuhan nas is got alif lam. Alif lam comes to ahad. And then there'll be indicators to show who Rasulullah was referring to. So from the four or five things that are in the hadith, there's three indicators that shows that this is with reference to Muslims only. Not a general address. It's only an address restricted to Muslims. So what are those pointers? One is afshu salam. Salam, who do you make it? Muslims only? You make salam to a Hindu, won't he feel intimidated? Like if he makes namaste to you, say, what are you trying to do? By the same token, I tell people, right? The non-Muslim, when he's greeting an audience, he doesn't feel ashamed of saying good morning, good evening and all that, right? So why should we feel ashamed to say assalamu alaikum if our brother is there, but loudly say assalamu alaikum? Should we feel ashamed? The non-Muslim, he doesn't feel ashamed to say good morning, good evening, right? Does he feel ashamed? Does he feel embarrassed? So then, being a non-Muslim, he still doesn't feel ashamed. Then why, being Muslims, why do we feel ashamed? Why do we suffer the complex? Should we? Is that right? So, afshu salam is the first point, right? Then, sallu bil layli wa nasu niyam, perform the tahajjud namaz. See? The kafir can do anything. He said, no, I'm praying through the candle or the fire and all that. So is that referring to him? The second pointer, that this is with reference to Muslims only. And the third pointer is summat khulul jannat bi salam. Then enter into jannat peacefully. Now you say it's an open address, message of love. Now, that means everybody will go to Jannah. Hindu, Kafir, anybody. Atheist, Satanist, everybody will go. They must just be good. Is that right? Are we doing justice to the hadith? So the expert explanation that has been given by these experts, we are dependent on the explanation. We are absolutely dependent. So Now look at the expert explanation that is given about good character. Everybody can say, no, my character is good, I'm a good person, you don't see me getting upset and angry. But is that in conformity with the explanation of the hadith or the experts of the hadith? So what do they say about it? What is the meaning of good character? So Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi is even the ustad of Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullah alayhi, the student of Imam Abu Hanifa, but the ustad of Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullah alayhi. So can you imagine now at what level he is, ustad Abdullah ibn Salam rahmatullah alayhi. He was a man at a different level, extremely wealthy, right? But now look at him. 4 months in the year he's doing business, right? 4 months he's doing jihad. And 4 months he's emanating, passing hadith. You see how he's distributed his time. 4 months in business, and big time business, not small business, big business. 4 months in jihad, and 4 months in learning and passing hadith. It's Abdullah ibn Salam, Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiyallahu anhu, right? So now, he explains what is the meaning of good character. We'll come to the topic inshallah. Just branched off a little bit. Don't get worried. Spoke of shadow with taqwa, right? He says it's got three pointers here. What are the 3 points? The first point is bastul wajh. So a good face. Came home, good face. Hey, muft mein sawab mil raha hai, why let it go? If someone is showing you a cheeky face, and someone, your friend promises you, you know, you show a good face, he'll give you $1 billion. You should work it out, how much will be converted in rands? Isn't it? He's showing you a cheeky face, he'll give you some bad words, but if you were to be giving a smiling, good face, right, then I'll give you $1 billion, right? Will you miss out the opportunity, I tell you? And I ask you, even if he gave you some swear words, but you know this is a return, will you let it go? So, this bastul waj, antabsuta or antambisata ala waj akhika sadaqatun. You're already getting a sadaqa sawab. You don't have the money to do it, but now you're doing that, smiling. The way, however they're treating you and they're talking about you, but you got a smiling face. So you already cashed in, and you caught cashed in big way. And that is one of those pillars of good character. Now that good character, sometimes I have to tell people, you know, see, we have to learn character in Jamaat. We're going to meet all types of people. All types. Some will be sulky, some will be aggressive, some will be kind. All types of people, so you have to learn the thing there. But that doesn't mean that you restrict it to the Jamaat, restrict the application to the Jamaat. Then the same akhlaq that you learned, ikram that you learned, you apply it to your house, because your house is the greatest recipient of the akhlaq, the most important. Now what's the use? You're showing a good akhlaq and smiling at the waitress, and you can't show the same smile to your own wife. The hostess says, hey, thank you very much, take your numbers and all that, see? So all these things here. But your wife is doing all the hard work. You're not paying her for it. She's doing it with a passion. She's doing it. Do you show a smiling face? Jazakallah, really nice. You know, I'll wipe off my fingers for this. I'll take out my hat for you. She can't wear a hat. But in a way of appreciation, you smile. Right? Shouldn't you be doing these things here? So, you learned in the Jamaat or in the Khanqah, the first place you will apply it is the home. Right? Then in your business, show a good face. You don't have to pulled up face. So, one is a good face. Right? One is then sweet words. See, good face, good words. You want to tell the person, you want to correct him, but in a good way. How you would like to be addressed, how you would like to be advised, and you advise the person exactly the same. Good words. You can tell the person, you know, you've got no brains. And you can also tell the person, alright, just pay attention a little bit, just see what's going on. You can just change that whole thing and make it more palatable. Can't you do it? You can't do it. So why make it look ugly? Though the Arabic saying is, قُلِ الْحَقَّ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُرًّا. Say the truth, even though it is bitter. But the saying doesn't say, make it bitter. اِجْعَلْهُ مُرًّا. No, no. It doesn't say, make it bitter. Oh, Hazrat Muhammad used to say, he actually is quotation, small quotation, but tons of meaning. But only now we think of him, right? 30 years passed. 92 he passed away. How many years? 30 years passed. It says, Turshi dar ta'am, na dar kalam. Bitterness in the food is alright. Put some mango achar, lemon achar, gajar binis. It's nice, right? Something bitter. Not in your words. What? Never in your words. In the food you add it, right? It's a good flavor, and right? It's good. But in words, don't ever let it feature in your words. See that? See again, so Gustav passed now. So this man, what he was talking about, what he was seeing, we couldn't see this. But now, after time, we see what's happening. That Gustav, we may think it's a simple thing, but it's gone out. It's gone out. Are you getting, nearly every week you're getting a case, man just loses it. You take one step out of the house, you divorce 3 times, kalas. That is not an isolated case. It's such a common case, But there's no control over the magaj, you know. Magaj, you have no control. And then your life is a disaster. People that you're living with, their lives are disasters. Marriage on the rocks. The woman is now in the edge now. What do I do with this man here? This man will say something. So does she feel secure? Does she feel nice? And if someone treated you like that, would you feel nice? See, in every week there's 2 days, a Monday and a Thursday, where forgiveness is announced for all and sundry, everybody, all the ummah of the Islam, all maft. 2 days, Monday and Thursday. Only those two people that had some type of reservation, not talking to each other, or they had some malice in their hearts for each other. Habak says, leave them aside and mark for everybody else. I say, what a great loss. Allah said, all mark, everybody mark. But you're harboring malice, talking to each other. You aside. Everybody else is marked. Now that person is doing whatever he's doing wrong. But why must that prevent us from showing good character? He is doing wrong, right? But now because of his wrong, should we be deprived? Should we be the losers? Let him do carry on, but we shouldn't be losing. So, good face, good words. It doesn't stop there. And good mind as well. I ask you for a moment, if your mind is not good for someone, right? Or not good for any situation, can you think right? Can you think right? Have you got the composure? Your mind is not, I need to put this person in his place. You're talking to him, but you're saying, I need to put him in his place, right? But are you thinking right now? Your mind is not right. So you see this, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, and what he's saying. Good character, good face. And I showed you what is the meaning of good face. Good face, good words, and good mind. So your mind is good, composed. So you can think well, you can think right. Just a small little incident, a real incident. Al-Mustafa Rahmatullahi wa Ustad, he wouldn't like going to debates, you know. But now the whole madrasa would push him. Must go for a debate. Must go for this debate. In India, the situation is different, right? Person can turn some other religion. Right? For now, Qari Tayyib Sahib, all the big buzurgs of the time, they push him, must go for the debate. And now Mustafa Rahmatullahi had a lot of respect. Although, his ilm was far in excess. But then his respect was at a different level. So anybody is a little bit elder than him, he would show that respect. But because of their pressure and their force, he would go. Now the person on the opposite side, in that fit of anger, the heat of anger, he's saying, Mustafa Rahmatullahi, okay, you know, whatever you're going to show haram, I will show it halal. Whatever you show haram, I will prove it halal. So Buddha is relaxed, is calm, says, I say that your mother is haram for you. You see that composure. Just that composure, and in one word, the person is demolished, capsized, one word. See the composure, how important the composure is. There are many other incidents, but I don't go into the length of that, right? So, one is a good face, right? Number two is Bazlul Ma'ruf. Then you spend, right? Right? وَلَا تَخْشَ عَنْ ذِي الْعَرْشِ إِخْلَالًا. Spend. Don't be afraid. As long as the one of the arsh is around, Allah Ta'ala is around, don't be afraid. You will spend and you will get. You will spend and you will get. You'll carry on getting. A Muslim, the secret of his life is, at any given time, his trust is in Allah Ta'ala. At any given moment. Not only here in the masjid or outside, no, at any given moment. Allah, I trust you. I love you, I trust you. Say it sometimes verbally and mentally. You must have that frame of mind that I'm a servant of Allah Ta'ala, I trust Him. He is my master, He is my maker, I believe in that, I am His servant and I trust Him, and I trust Him. And you see, this thing will work like a miracle, it will work. I trust Him, I ask His protection. I trust Him and ask His, don't even trust yourself. Because you may seem to be nice, well behaved now, and what happens to you the next moment? What happens? In a single moment, your mind can just capsize. So, Bazlul Ma'ruf. Spend. Now, someone say, but that's for all the wealthy people. Now, what can I do? But according to your means, you can spend. I tell people, right? Even if you want some food, you want an extra banana. Right? Take in your car, some poor person, pass it on. What a good name for Islam. Muslims are givers. They don't want to live with favors. They want to give. Yeah. You can't do anything else. See, just take two slices of bread, put some curry, or put some butter and jam. Someone poor, he's got something for the day. Right? Can't we do that much? Something. And if we can't even do that much, then give that person an idea about business, how we can carry on, medication, something that you know, some good thing that can be of help to that person. That's also spending your knowledge, your experience you've shared with someone, it's also a type of spending. It's not only wealth and good idea, a good suggestion, something about marriage, something about something else, how to look after the house, how to budget, how to look after your motor car. Some idea that you've got, you share, that's also a sadaqah. Bazlul Ma'ruf. And the third, to cover this entire subject of good character, the third one is Kafful Adha. Don't hurt anybody, not verbally, not physically, not mentally, not emotionally. Don't hurt the person. Don't even stare at him, big eyes. Don't even do that. Don't hurt. That's also hurt. Don't even think bad of the person. No hurt. And this you will come when you understand the meaning of Assalamu Alaikum. You said Assalamu Alaikum, then say it with this frame of mind, that I am guaranteeing you that you won't be hurt physically, emotionally, verbally, mentally. There's no hurt. In fact, I would wish more for you than for myself. If I got a name, I want a better name for you. I got a bayan, I want a better bayan for you. I got a kitab, I want a better kitab for you. My mind was working like that. I got some recognition, you must get a greater recognition. I got some name, you must have a better name. I got some type of enjoyment, you must have better enjoyment. Now that Muslim, I ask you, can his heart be ever soiled with malice? Can't. Otherwise, how will turn it around? I got a chicken licking. What are you talking about, this person here? You come to me, I'll show you what is chicken. Well, these are all amateurs, man. This is learning. Mine's, that's the top one. Or my brand, that's the top one. These people are still learning, apprentice, novice in the game. You go to them, you write in your mind. But a Muslim, how you think? That's a Muslim. So his heart will be good for anybody at any time. And that's a sure way to get your du'as answered. Your heart is good for anybody at any time. But jo tumhare taqdeer mein hai, wo to aakar ke rahega. With all what you're doing, what is in your taqdeer, you must get it. You bragging about yourself, that means you have lost trust in Allah Ta'ala. You have put your trust in yourself. When you're bragging about yourself, about your things, I ask you for that moment, have you trusted yourself or you trusted Allah Ta'ala? And Allah Pak is promising you, you trust me, I'll work your things out. مَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. You will trust me, I'll work your things out. So you wish well for him, make dua for him, that he becomes better than you. Prophet had this type of thoughts when they passed my mind. Then Allah Pak taught me a very easy solution. Say, Allah Pak, whatever I did now, all the sawab is for him. Allah Pak, if you give me Jannah, give him a better Jannah. So then, what happens? I see the shaitan gets blocked off. That argument doesn't carry on. Because now, sometimes you want to compare who's better. The shaitan makes you feel, no, you did well. No, whatever I did now, Allah Pak, the sawab is for that person. Everything. And once you did that, his passages are blocked off. And in the meanwhile, if you pass on the sawab that side, it's not that you will lose out. You would still get what's decreed for you.